who was about to take a long journey. He called his servants together and entrusted them with his property. To the first he gave 5 talents. To the second he gave 2 talents. To the third he gave 1 talent. To each in proportion to his own personal ability. Then he departed and left the country. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them. Therefore he gained 5 more talents. And just like the first servant, the second one, who had received 2 talents, also gained 2 more. But he who had received the 1 talent left and dug a hole in the ground. There he hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of the servants returned and settled accounts with them. And he who had received 5 talents more came to his master, showing that he had received 5 more, saying to his master, "You entrusted me 5 talents. See that I have gained 5 more. His master said to him, "Well done, you upright and faithful servant. You have been faithful and trustworthy over so little. Therefore, I will put you in charge of many. Enter into and share the joy that which your master shares." And he had received 2 talents, came to his master and said, "Master, you have entrusted me with 2 talents. See that I have gained 2 talents more." His master said to him, "Well done, you upright and faithful servant. I have trusted you with few things, and now you'll be trusted with many. Enter into and share the joy that your master enjoys." Then the third servant, who had received 1 talent, came to his master and said, "Master, I knew you to be a harsh and hard man, reaping where you do not sow, and gathering where you have not renowned. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talents in the ground. Here you have what is yours." But his master answered him, "You wicked and idle servant. You did indeed know that I reap where I have not sowed, and gather where I have not winnowed. Then you should have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received what was my own with interest. So take the talents away from him and give it to the one who has the ten talents. For to everyone who has will be given, and he will be furnished richly, so that he will have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, even when he does have, will be taken away. And throw the good-for-nothing servant into the darkness. There he will be weeping and grinding of teeth."
Well, good morning. It is it's good to be with each of us let's start that over. It's good to be here today. It's good to be look out and see you and know that we are here together and for one purpose, and that's to worship God, but all 2 purposes. By worshiping God, we encourage each other and bless each other, and we are a family, and we are a blessed family at that. Wanted to bring one update before you this morning. Just before we got started today, Melissa Willison sent me an update on Abby. She's being treated for pneumonia now, primarily with more specific antibiotics. The septic shock that she was in was managed at the ICU, and she improved enough to be moved to a specific floor. And they'll take care of her there for the pneumonia and monitor her with IVs and other things. And says she is feeling better today, and they want to thank everybody for their prayers and concern. She's had a rough fall. So let's continue to remember her and Mackenzie out in Malibu. Were they evacuated, or they were evacuated from the campus? So I'd like to just start our time with a silent prayer, a moment of silence, so that you could lift up on your own concerns that you may have on your heart, and then I will try to bring these other couple concerns before God and as we start our lesson today. So if you bow your heads for a couple minutes of silent prayer. For you this morning, with our hearts in many different directions, in our mind as well, with the things that have occurred this week in our country and in our homes and our lives, that have some of the things have shaken us to our cores. For the things that have happened over the last several weeks here. And we are grateful, God, for your strength and your power, and we're grateful that you are our God and that you are our Father. We're grateful that we can hang our hats and hang our lives on you. Father, we ask that you would watch over our hearts. We ask that you would help us as we our hearts have been either hurting or pricked at the events and things that have happened around us. Help us, Father, to act with love. Help us to speak with love. Help us to always remember that you love us, and therefore we need to love others. God, we ask that you would watch over Abby and her family. Continue to watch over her, bring her your healing. Watch over Mackenzie and Jonathan and the others that we may know that are out in California, the folks that between the shooting and between the fires, just a horrendous week, God. So we, I know their parents and those who love them most would just love to be there and surround them. So we ask that they would feel that love and they would feel that care from people who love them so much. And we are grateful and thankful for their safety. God, we ask that you would also be with the DeLongs at the passing of Molly's father. What a valiant life and incredible man that he was, and we're thankful for him, and pray that you'd watch over the DeLongs and bless them and give them peace. Thank you for a life well lived, and we pray that know that he is at home with you at this time. God, for our lesson today, we ask that you would open our hearts and open our minds. Help us to listen to what you would have brought forth today, and help us to apply it as we can. We love you, and we're grateful that you love us. In Jesus' name, amen. On vacation last week, we had an opportunity to go to Raleigh to attend a wedding. It was a wedding of a daughter of one of Diane's best friends in high school. And it was a beautiful wedding. It was a time, just a neat way, a neat place where it was as well. But a nice time to get away. And on Sunday, on Saturday, you know, vacation time, you don't know what when it was, when it happened. But on Saturday, we had this chance to go to this market. It was a state farmer's market. And it was really, really cool. I sent Kelly and Jerry a picture, tell them they need to up their game in order to be what this was. But we're walking around and lots to see and do and eat as well. But I ran into this, came around this corner, and I ran into, almost ran into this young man who had this shirt on. And not this shirt, but a shirt. I took his shirt. But he had a shirt on, and it had the California Bear on it. But it said, "Let God work." And it was a very plain statement. It was a very plain statement. And so I have a rule in my life. If you pass me three or four times, more than three times in some area, I know that God wants me to speak to you. And that's just the role that I play. So after the third time seeing this young man, I ask him, what does that mean? I said, I think I understand what that means. And he says, "Well, first of all, it's for you to ask me that question." And I said, "Well, step one achieved." And I said, "But what does that mean in the relevance that it means?" And he said that in his friends that were in California came up with this shirt, and it was just a reminder to them to let God work in their lives, to let God be God and let you be his servant. And I listened to this young man and just was, I'm like, I want to order those shirts. And of course, they don't make them now, so we have to make our own. But I thought, what an interesting idea to remind Christians, just to each other and to the world, that we need to let God work. That it really kind of woke me up in a different way of just a being reminder in a place, you know, where you're in the community, but how we can remind each other to keep God in front. And then we had the opportunity to visit a little church and to we had no excuses not to go. It was less than 3 minutes from where we were staying. So we went and had a beautiful time with this church, and they're doing a wonderful job there. Had a huge youth group, and it was beautiful to pull up there, and kids were everywhere, and it was just a nice feeling, a very welcoming feeling as we got there. But we had this opportunity to look at this parable that we're looking at today, about the parable of the man and leaving his inheritance, his means with the people around him. And I found it to be an interesting conversation, so I ended up looking, you know, more things up and studying it out over the week and trying to figure out how we could learn more from this parable. But this parable teaches us lots of things. And I think the premise of it comes back to that T-shirt about letting God work. Because so many times we have these gifts and talents and these abilities, and we keep them in a very small box, and we keep them hidden, and we don't do anything with them, or we do very little with them to let God work and make a great thing out of them. So as we go through this parable today, I'd like for us just to remember, as Connor read it to us, remember those words, and then we will talk about these five different things. The first thing is that the parable teaches us that success is a product of our work. As much as we'd like to think that, and none of us are overly blessed, but we have to work. We have to work and use the talents that God has given us. And in this conversation, I know there's conversations about that, yes, this was money. Yes, they were called talents. It doesn't mean our talents, but I think it overrides in a different way. I'm not going to argue about that conversation. I'm just going to say that's, I don't want to spend all my time on that. But that our talents, even our money, we have to work to make it work. We have to have success, we have to make it work. We need to use our talents to glorify God and to serve him for the common good and further God's kingdom. And by doing so, we honor God by doing so. Biblical success is working diligently in the here and now, using all the talents that God has given us to produce the return expected by the Master. He gives us those gifts, those talents, for us to do something with. We cannot remain idle with the gifts and talents we have. It will do nothing for us. Number two, this parable teaches us that God always gives us everything we need to do what he has called us to do. Sometimes I wonder about that, because I find myself stepping out and doing some things and find myself, yikes, was not prepared for that, was not ready for that question, was not ready for that result. But when I look back on it, I realize, and this is one of those resume things, when you have a resume, if you look back at your resume, every step, every point along the way, you picked up something that was a blessing to you and that you will use later in your life. Way back in high school, I worked at Kentucky Fried Chicken. Still love Kentucky Fried Chicken. But one of the things that I remember there was all about the chicken as well. But the manager there said, if you've got time to lean, you've got time to clean. Yes, that's why you very seldom see me very idle, because that's a a thing, a character trait that I felt that was important and it was good. And so we learn something in all of these different points of our resume, and therefore they're used as gifts later on. As we talked about the talent back then, it's said today that it could have been as worth as much as $1 million in today's money. And so all three of those men received all they needed to do better. And the one who received the one talent was fearful, and he buried that talent because he knew he was not, could not lose it, but he was afraid to do anything with it. And Jesus, just as the master expected his servants to do more than passively preserve what he entrusted them, so God expects us to generate a return by using our talents toward productive ends. The servants were given enough to produce more. It is the same with the gifts that God has given us. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, it says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." One of the things, when you're in a car a long time, you hear songs a lot. Seems like on the country, or on the Christian playlists right now, if you listen, there's a lot of songs about fear. Have you heard those? Lots of songs about fear. And I don't know if it's from our times that we live in. I don't know if it's because of different experiences along the way. But Satan instills fear in us so that we sometimes are immovable. We're paralyzed by it. Sometimes fear keeps us from voicing and being who we need to be. Sometimes fear just keeps us from doing anything. And as I realized that there were so many of these songs about fear, I realized that this poor guy, this poor one-talent guy who buried his treasure or buried his talents, did so because he was very fearful. He wasn't looking at to what God could do with it. He was thinking about just what he could do with it. And by doing so, he buried it and realized that he had to hold on to it, or else the master would be very, very unhappy. So this is why the reward given by the master is the same. The master measures success by degrees of effort, as we should as well. The fourth thing there is that the parable of the talents teaches us that we work for the master and not for our own selfish purposes. And yes, I skipped four. Three. I'm sorry, I skipped three. Back up, please. Sorry about that. Too many pages at once. Maybe I'm trying to get done as well. The parable of the talents teaches us that we are not all created equal. We'd like to think that we are all created equal. But in reality, are we? Our gifts and talents? Are Linda Shivington's talents the same as Linda Heiss's talents? As Angie Haver? As Jim Lanier? Our talents are different, aren't they? We are loved equally by God, but our talents and gifts are different. And therefore, sometimes we think we're all equal. We should all be able to do and follow the same instructions, but we're not. But this is probably the most overlooked piece of this parable, because the one who received, it says the master understood that the one talent servant was not capable of producing as much as the five talent servant. He wasn't able to do that, so he gave him what he could handle, again, what he needed. And we want to think that this is unfair, but if we think about our experience, we realize that diversity is in our fabric. It's who we are. It's what we're about. We are all different, but yet we're all loved by the same God. It says, "But even though we are not created equal in regard to the talents we're given, there is a quality found in the parable. It comes from the fact that it takes just as much work for the five-talent servant to produce as much as the two-talent person did as well. And that if you work at it, it takes effort, and it happens, and it works." Now, number four. The parable of the talents teaches us that we work for the master and not for our own selfish purposes. The work we do is for God. It's not about us. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about what we can do with what God has given us. And by using it and making that happen, God can create incredible things. The money that is given is the servants, is given to the servants is not their own, and the money that they earn is not theirs to keep. The servants are only stewards of the master's investment, and it is the quality of their stewardship that the master seeks to measure. What you and I have is what God looks at and wants us to use. He looks at it. He wants us to invest what we have. He wants us to use it for his glory. Sometimes we get some benefits from that. Sometimes we're blessed by that. But most of all, we should seek that we honor God, and that working in a fallen world, we have that opportunity to be a light for him. Because of the curse of sin, our work will be difficult, but we should feel satisfaction and joy from doing our best with what God has given us in a place that he provides us in order to honor him. As we think about that characteristic there, that we have to work for God. We have to love with the love God gives us. We have to forgive with the love God gives us. I don't have it. I can't keep it going on my own. I can be nice for so long. Ask Diane, she knows. But because of God, because of God's great love for us, we have the ability to be who God wants us to be. We have to tap into it. We have to let God work and make that happen. And number five, the parable of the talents shows that we will be held accountable. This is a hard part of that parable. The parable of the talents is not about salvation or works righteousness, but how we use our work to fulfill the earthly callings. It's about whole life stewardship. It's about stewardship with a capital S. It's about using and being the person God wants us to be, and realizing that we're not all the same people. We are not all the same people, but we all have gifts that God wants us to use and to be. I wanted to read this quote from Philip Yancey about God's plan in our lives. Philip Yancey tells about playing chess in high school. He was a member of his school's chess club, and he studied books and techniques and strategies. After high school, Yancey put the game aside for 20 years until in Chicago, he met a truly fine chess player. They played a few matches. Any classic offense Yancey tried was met with a classic defense. If Yancey turned to a more risky, unorthodox technique, his opponent incorporated Yancey's bold advances into his own winning strategies. Yancey soon discovered that none of his own strategies mattered much, because his opponent simply incorporated Yancey's moves into his own plan. And Yancey writes, "Perhaps God engages our universe, his own creation, in much the same way. He grants us the freedom to rebel against his original design, but even as we do, we end up ironically serving the eventual goal of restoration. If I accept that blueprint, a huge step of faith, I confess, it transformed how I will view both good and bad things that happen. Good things, such as health, talent, money, I can present to God as offerings to serve his purposes. And bad things, too, disability, poverty, family dysfunction, and failures, can be redeemed as the very instruments that drive me to God." I really appreciated that statement, because no matter what happens in our life, what we do with our talents and gifts, God will use it no matter what. If we mess up, if we succeed, he uses it. If it's a good thing, it goes to his glory. It goes to his blessing of others, and it helps others to see him. If it's a bad thing, it also goes for his glory, because it shows us how much we need him, how much he loves us. Let God work. Faithful servants, I'm going to read this last paragraph as well. Faithful servants entrusted with God's resources trust in the goodness of God so that they are not afraid to take risks. They are not afraid of failure. The servant who did nothing with what was entrusted to him was hampered by fear. When he is called onto the carpet, his failure, he says, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went to, and hid your talent in the ground. If that is how we imagine God, we will not be motivated to take risks. We will not be compelled to give our resources and abilities and energies to serve and love others. If we are afraid of failure or afraid of God, we will not invest our money, our time, or talents into the lives of others and for the common good of our society. We just won't. So we have to get rid of fear. We have to put fear aside. We have to trust God. We have to trust God and let him work. Why that's so difficult for even the strongest in this room, I'm not sure. But I feel and know that we must, in order to be successful, in order to trust, we have to let God work. We have to use what he's given to us. We have to use what he's implanted in us, what he's given to us, entrusted us, however you want to put it. And use it for God's glory. The card for this week, which I have misplaced. Do you have your card? Blue card? Thank you. The card for this week, I thought it'd be awesome to memorize Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, talking that we are God's handiwork, and we are to be used for his purposes. That'd be a great thing to memorize. The second one was to read this parable again, Matthew 25. And then the third is to accept the let God work challenge. And by accepting that challenge, we have the opportunity to see the amazing things that God could do in our lives. We have the great, it's even almost indescribable to see and to let God do something. Because when we finally step out of the way and allow him to work, we can be so totally blessed and so amazed of what God can do in our lives and what he can do in our communities. I always remember what I heard at the Promise Keeper rally in Washington, D.C. many years ago now. But the thought was, once again, about doing something with what you have. About you changing you. Because when you change you, you can change your house. And then you can change your community. Then you can change your states. And you can see where this is going. Your nation, your world. We can make a difference in our world by letting God work within us. So let's think about that challenge. How can we let God work? What can he open up? What can we give to him that we can risk going out and doing in a different way, or living in a way that would honor him in a majestic way and let others see him? I see your minds are thinking, hopefully not just about dinner, but about what you can do and how you can make God work, because he can and he will. Look at what he did with the other two. The other two, they doubled what they had. And then the one who had the top, he was even given the one from the man who only had one. They were blessed beyond measure. We will be as well if we do let God work in our lives. Let us do it. Let's do our best. Let's pray. God, we have come before you, and we're grateful for this opportunity to listen to you and to listen to your word. We're grateful that sometimes it seems to be very simple. Very simple. That we just need to use and do what you have us to do. You've given us the abilities, you've given us the talents, you've even given us the opportunity. In a land and country where we could do anything, help us to do something for you. Help us to do something. Help us to make a difference. Help us to let your light shine. Because God, as your scripture says, when we let our light shine, when we let your light shine, people look to you and honor you. So help us to do that. Help us to be the people you'd have us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Let God work in your life this week. If you've not given him the opportunity to have control of your life, and you've not been baptized, maybe that's what you need to do this day. If not, if you need prayers for things that are going on in your life, and I know we all do, We all got lots of things happening. If you would like to make that a public prayer, make it known while we stand soon.